Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the Old Testament book of Job. And I'm going to begin in Job chapter 9. And the title of the message is in the form of a question, which is posed in Job 9 and verse 2. How should man be just with God? How should man be just with God? And the question there is posed by Job himself. And what he's asking is, how should man who is sinful and depraved and deserving of judgment and wrath, how should a sinner be justified with God? Now, the book of Job is a very interesting book. Some scholars believe that Job was the oldest book of the Bible. And that may be true. And we don't know much about the timing of it. And of course, you know how biblical scholars are. They all differ and they argue and they debate over these things. But it doesn't matter. The truths that are set forth in the book of Job are eternal truths. And you can't put a date on those. This is God's word. But you know about the story of Job, how that Satan approached God and he talked about Job serving God only because God had given Job good things. And he said, you haven't put Job to the test. So God allowed Satan to test Job and tested him severely. Took away his family, took away his wealth, took away his health, everything that men and women by nature hold dear here on earth. Think about that. If someone come along and just wiped you out of all your family, was gone. Job's children died in terrible ways. And then Job lost his health. Then he lost all of his money. If somebody come along and do that to you, you'd feel like you were cursed of God, wouldn't you? You'd feel so bad. And of course, Job starting out, we know that the Lord said that Job was a justified person. And I'll just say this up front. What is it to be justified before God? To be justified before God is to be forgiven of all your sins. If I'm just with God, then I'm forgiven. And then to be just with God is to be declared, counted righteous in God's sight. A righteous person in the Bible is not one who exceeds other people in morality. Now, we should try to be as moral as we can be. But a righteous person in the Bible is one who is righteous, not because of their works, but because God has declared them righteous in His sight on a just and legal ground. Just like forgiveness. And so, the Lord Himself said Job was a just person. He was forgiven. He was righteous in God's sight. And Job was an upright person. That's a man of faith, or a woman of faith is upright. They believe God's word, believe God's gospel, and essentially believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that is. But then God allowed Satan to come down on Job, take away his family, his health, his wealth. And Job started out well in a good testimony. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife tried to get him to curse God and die. Job wouldn't do it. But then there were three men who came along, three friends of Job, who said, now we need to sit down and talk about this and find out what's going on here. And when they first came, they sat down there and they didn't say a word. They just sat there and they just grieved with Job. But then they started talking, discussing, and giving their opinions. And basically their message to Job was this. Job, we've got to figure out what great sin you committed that has caused God to bring this down on you. And that's where it got, went all haywire. And that's when they became what Job refers to as miserable comforters. In fact, there was no great... Now, Job was a sinner. Don't get me wrong. As are we all. I am a sinner saved by grace. And if God were to mark iniquities, I preached on this last week, I wouldn't stand. Put it to you this way. If God ever gave to me what I deserve and what I've earned in His sight, it would be worse than what Job got. It would be damnation. Lord, if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? Psalm 130, verse 3. So, when it comes to saying, well, Job, we've got to find some particular sin to find out why God brought this down on you. Well, there was no particular sin that Job had done that caused God to do this. God was putting Job to the test, and He used Satan as His instrument. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, there are times when even believers will suffer particular consequences for particular sins. There are times that happens. We can think about King David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. And God said, you're forgiven, but the sword's not going to leave your house. Your family and your kingdom's going to be in turmoil from now on. That was a consequence. Even though David himself was just, a sinner saved by grace, David had the assurance of hope of salvation by God's grace. But he suffered the consequences. But you can't say that we suffer the consequences of every sin, because we wouldn't be able to hold our heads up. And we're all sinners. But here's what happened. See, they began to accuse Job and say, Job, now you've got to come clean here. And Job began justifying himself. And that was wrong. Even believers can fall into that kind of attitude. But in all this process of their discussion, they posed this question. Look at Job chapter 9 and verse 1. This is Job himself. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God or before God? How is it possible that a sinner like me or sinners like you could be justified before God, could be forgiven of our sins and declared righteous in God's sight? And he says in verse 3, he says, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. What that means is if you're going to justify yourself before God, if you're going to contend with God, when you bring one point in your favor, God can come back with a thousand against you. Think about that. And that's the thing about it. You cannot answer him one of a thousand. And the word thousand in the Hebrew way of thinking was a limitless number. It wasn't literal thousand. And so how should a man be just with God? Well, that question's posed again over in Job 15. This is another one of Job's friends. His name is Eliphaz the Temanite. And he says in verse 14, now this is Eliphaz. He asks this question, what is man that he should be clean? Clean from his sins. And he which is born of woman that he should be righteous. What is man? Sinful man. Verse 15, Eliphaz says, behold, God putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? How can a sinner be justified? Even God's saints. Now, who are the saints there? That's a sanctified person. And what is a sanctified person? A sinner saved by grace. Well, God didn't put his trust even in his saints. His saints put their trust in God. So even his saints who are justified How in the world could that happen? They couldn't justify themselves by their works or their decisions or anything like that. And then one more passage over in Job 25. This is one of the shortest chapters of the Bible. Job 25. This is another one of Job's friends. His name was Bildad. He was the Shuhite. And listen, it says in verse 1 of Job 25, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, 'Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise?'" This is how great and glorious and awesome God is. And then he poses the question, verse 4, "How then can man be justified with God?" How is that possible? "Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less that is a man that is a worm," and that word worm refers to a maggot, "and the son of man, which is a worm." That word worm refers to a different worm. It's what's called the tola. It was the worm which they got the red dye out of, that they dyed the priestly garments and the coverings of the tabernacle, the red part. And it's a picture of the blood of Christ is what it is, the red dye. In fact, it's even used in Isaiah chapter 1, the same word when it talks about the crimson. "Though my sins be, though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow." So the issue here is, how in the world shall a man be just with God? Well, the Bible teaches us plainly in the Old Testament and the New this fact. And I'll read this from Romans chapter 3. This is verse 19. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Now, guilty there means subject to the judgment of God. Sometimes we use the word guilty in the fact that we are the ones who did the crime, and we're all guilty in that way. But the word guilty here has to do with the pronouncement of guilt in the court of law, in the sense that brings judgment down upon us. And so he said, that's the way it is. The law cannot save us. The law cannot give, the law can show us what righteousness is, but it cannot make us righteous. The law can only pronounce us guilty before God and condemn us based on our works. And then in verse 20, he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight." Now, Job and Eliphaz and Bildad, they posed that question. How can a sinful person be justified with God? But it's not by works. You cannot be forgiven of your sins. You cannot be declared righteous before God by your works. He says in verse 20, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So in other words, the only thing the law can show me and do for me is show me my sinfulness, the fact that I'm a sinner, and the fact that I deserve nothing but God's wrath, based upon my best efforts to keep the law. So then, how can a sinful man or a sinful woman, be justified in God's sight? Well, Paul begins to answer that question in verse 21 of Romans 3. It's answered back over in the Old Testament. In fact, it's answered back in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. When God took an animal and killed it, shed its blood, and made Adam and Eve coats of skin. But here's how it comes back doctrinally and theologically. Look at verse 21 of Romans 3. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith," or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, "unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The answer to the question is found in the gospel. And it's found in the gospel revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the very righteousness of God. Over in Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek," that is the Gentile, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." What is the righteousness of God there? My friend, it is the merits of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as the surety of his people, having their sins charged, accounted, imputed, reckoned to him, and substituted himself and died on the cross to pay the redemption price of death in their place. "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, not for all without exception, but for his sheep, and he redeemed them from their sins." It's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And he says in Romans 3 and verse 24, he says, "Being justified freely, without a cause, unconditionally, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That's how God, that's how a sinful person can be justified in God's sight. It's upon the ground, the basis of the blood of Christ, which is his righteousness, imputed, charged, accounted to them. Verse 25 of Romans 3. "Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," that word propitiation, it means a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to the justice of God. You see, that's why there'll be no sinners in hell for whom Christ died. Here's what the scripture says. If Christ died for you, that means God chose you before the foundation of the world and gave you to him. If Christ died for you, that means your sins were charged to him and cannot be charged to you. See, that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It's God that justifies. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Blessed is the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. So if Christ died for you, that means you cannot be charged with your sin. And if Christ died for you, that means his righteousness has been imputed to you. You are justified. You're forgiven and declared righteous, not by your works, not by your decision, not because of your faith in him, but because of his righteousness imputed to you. And if he died for you, you shall be born again and you shall believe in him. You will cling to him. You will rest in him. You will know him. Because out of his righteousness comes life from the dead. You must be born again. But the righteousness of God was not established by me or by you or by any sinner. It wasn't established by our faith in him. It was established by his faithfulness to do what he promised to do before the world began. That's the everlasting covenant of grace. So look at verse 25 of Romans 3, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." I see the satisfaction that he accomplished because God has given me faith to believe in him, his finished work, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That's the Old Testament saints through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, "to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So that's the point. You know, when Job and Eliphaz and Bildad asked that question, it comes from the fact that this, God is a just God. Now, we hear a lot today about a God of love and mercy and grace. And God is. The God of the Bible is a God of love and mercy and grace. God loves his people. There are people whom God hates. The scripture says that. I know people don't want to hear that today, but the Bible teaches it. God doesn't love everybody, but he loves his people with an everlasting love. Do you want to be part of that love? Well, that love's only be found in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's no love from God. There's only hatred and wrath. And His hatred is not a sinful hatred. It's not God throwing a temper tantrum. It's God's justice. If I stand before God without Christ, without being washed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness, I have nothing to look forward to but God's wrath. Without Christ, there is no hope. There is no justification. There is no life from the dead. So God is a just God, and He must punish all sinners to whom He imputes charges sin. So is there a way that God can look at me, I'm a sinner, and not impute sins to me and still be just in doing so? And the answer is yes. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ being made my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, who died on that cross for my sins so that the justice of God can be satisfied. He is my propitiation, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then when God was just to punish Christ, Christ who in Himself was not a sinner. In Himself He was just. The Bible says the just for the unjust. Well, how could God be just to punish His holy, harmless, undefiled, sinless Son based upon the sins of God's elect imputed, charged, accounted to Christ? That's how. When Christ was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew the answer to that. He wasn't asking a question. He was making a point. Why did the Father forsake the Son? Because of our sins, the sins of His elect, the sins of His sheep, His church, charged to His account. He willingly became our surety before the foundation of the world. He willingly said in the everlasting covenant of grace, He said, put their sins on my account, I'll repay the debt. And that's why the Father forsook Him and was just in doing so. So then how can a holy, just God look at a sinner like me and justly declare me righteous? He's not faking it. It's no legal fiction. It's not God playing like I'm not a sinner when I am. It's not as if I have never sinned. No, it's not that at all. It's that Christ has taken away my sins and put them as far as the Bible says, as the east is from the west, metaphorically. He's purged them away. He's cleansed me. That's what it is. God has really declared me righteous in His sight because of what Christ accomplished. And over in Romans chapter 4, listen to this. He talks about Abraham as an example of how God justifies the ungodly. And then he goes to King David. And in Romans 4:6, listen to this. He says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, David was a sinner, but he was righteous in God's sight. How? By the imputation, the charging, the accounting, the reckoning of the merits of the obedience unto death of Christ, His righteousness, to David. And David acknowledged that back in Psalm 32 when he said it's in Romans 4 and verse 7 here, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says that God the Father made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in Him. That's what it's talking about. That great exchange where God charged the sins of His elect to Christ and charged Christ's righteousness to them. So how can man born of woman be clean? How can a man be justified before God? Sinners justified? By the grace of God, through the redemption that is found only in Jesus Christ. And based upon the imputation of my sins to Him and His righteousness to me. And even as a sinner saved by grace, and all for whom God imputed their sins to Christ, and all to whom he has imputed Christ's righteousness to them. Here's what the Bible teaches. They will be born again by the Spirit. They will be brought under the gospel message. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Somebody said, well, what you're talking about is you don't have to believe. Oh, no. If what I'm talking about is true, which it is according to the Bible, you will believe. You may not believe today, but before you go to the grave, you will believe. You'll hear this message in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will open your eyes and your ears. He'll give you a new heart. And you will run to Christ. You'll cry out of the depths, as I preached last week. You'll say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you'll embrace Christ. You'll believe in him. You'll repent of your dead works and all of your sins. And you will persevere by the grace of God in the faith of Christ. You'll look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I know that so. Christ said, if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all unto me. That is all his sheep, all for whom he died. He's going to draw them. And how does he draw them? Through the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not under the preaching of a lie now, but under the preaching of the gospel. This is what you need to understand. If you're sitting somewhere in church or listening to TV to a lie, there's no drawing under the preaching of a lie. A corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. You got to hear the gospel. And if God chose you and Christ died for you, God's going to bring you under that gospel. He's going to confront you with it in some form or fashion, communicate it to your mind, affections, and your will, and you will believe. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.